The Mooney Show on RTE Radio 1. Text now to 51551 or email mooney@rte.ie.
And a very good Saturday evening to you. The evening is just beginning. It's just after 6 o'clock. I hope you're doing something nice this evening. Maybe you want to tell us what you're doing and where you're going. Actually, I heard a very interesting thing. You could steal an idea, couldn't you? If you're in one country listening to the radio and then you're on your own radio station presenting a programme, waffling away the way I am now, you could steal the idea from the other show and maybe they'd never find out. Anyway, here was the idea, which I thought was very interesting. So let's try it out and see what happens. But you've got to know this bit of information first. The text message is 51551, all right? 51551. So what you've got to do now with that information, the text message information, is pass on a sentence that you heard today somebody saying. So let's say you were out in the park for a walk, or let's say you were queuing to buy something in a supermarket or in a cafeteria, or you're going somewhere, or you're on a bus, or you're on the Lewis, or you're on the Dart, or you're on the expressway going down the country or coming up to the city, whatever the case may be, and you heard somebody next to you or in front of you or behind you saying something. Just text us the sentence. Just text us a sentence of what they were saying and we'll try and fill in the rest. I heard this some time ago on another radio station, not in this country, and it was fantastic fun. Because people were texting in wondering, well, what? How did it end? What were they saying? What were they doing? What were they talking about? So even beside somebody now, if you're listening and it's safe to do so, just text a sentence you've just overheard. It could be, will we go to the park tonight? That dinner was dreadful. She looks brutal. I thought his hair looked lovely. Whatever it was you overheard people saying, text now to 51551. All right, that's the same text number you will need if you want to take part in the Mooney's quiz, because the prize is a trip to Cork, to stay at the Kingsley Cork. It's a beautiful hotel and you'll have breakfast each morning. And you've got beautiful bedrooms, a bistro-style style restaurant, a luxury spa and an extensive health club. The Kingsley has everything you will need for a perfect stay for leisure, pleasure or business. So if you know your general knowledge, then text in for that. But we want to hear the sentences. Are you overhearing somebody say something right now? Text now to 51551. But see how interesting we are. Now, Bryony is our sound engineer, and she was telling me something interesting before we came on air. So would you pop in and tell our listeners, so open up a microphone for yourself while you're coming in as well, because she doesn't just work here. All the talent in this place is behind the microphone. I don't mean the likes of me. I mean the people you never hear on air. That's where the real talent is. Brian, you're very welcome to the programme. Have you been on radio before, talking,
no,
speaking?
No, I haven't actually, no. Ever.
So explain to people what you do normally.
Well, what I do outside of here.
Yeah. Well, not outside of here. What do you do in here, first of all?
In here I mix sound for all the different programmes.
What kind of programmes do you work? Do you work on any programmes with big names on them? Apart from me.
I do everything across Radio 1 and R&G and sometimes 2FM and all the stuff in the concert hall and any bands that come in. We have a real broad range of everything to do. So all to do with all broadcast.
And what's
sound.
Your background?
My background is live sound engineering.
Oh, right.
So I mix touring bands, basically. Touring bands, singer-songwriters. And I look after the production management and the tour management and all the logistics and the budgeting and the planning.
My goodness. And how do you have time to work in here?
I kind of mix it up, really. Touring isn't all the time. Obviously, you go on tour and then you come home and you haven't got anything to do until the next tour. So I come here.
So you slum it up in here with us.
Ah, I love coming here.
Good. Well, we're delighted to have you. So your name is interesting as well. So tell people your name.
My name, Bryony, is a poisonous English hedgerow plant. Comes in two varieties, black and white. Very highly poisonous, so poisonous it used to be known as English mandrake.
And why did your parents give you that name?
Because they're a bit hippie, and they had friends that had a child called Rowan, and they loved the name so much.
Rowan is a lovely name.
They looked in a gardening book or a nature book to find another nature name, and they found Bryony.
Okay, and your surname?
My surname is a bit more of a complicated story. It's actually my middle name, but my dad got remarried without telling me when I was in my 20s, so I changed my name by deed poll just to use my first two names. But we're friends now.
So tell us what your surname is then.
October is my surname.
So
yeah.
Bryony, October, isn't that just the most beautiful name you've ever heard, isn't it?
And there's a reason I was given it for a middle name as well.
Why?
Not only was I born in October, but obviously Oct is 8, and I was born on the 8th of October. And I was born in room 8 and I weighed 8 pounds. So there was lots of 8s around my birth.
Well, and it's a very lucky number in Asia, you know.
Yes, yeah, Chinese lucky number.
That's why when Airbus were constructing the building, developing the A380, as I understand it, they called it the A380 because they knew they were going to sell a lot of those aircraft in that part of the world, as I understand it. And the configuration of that particular aircraft is the figure 8. because it's got an upstairs and a downstairs, like an omnibus. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know.
Well,
that.
You should come here more often, because I'm full of useless information like that. Anyway, so you're in today to tell me, because you told me a little bit of a story outside before we came on air. It was about touring with Coldplay. So
yeah.
When did you do that?
Last summer, I tour manage and mix sound for a UK singer called Foxes. And Foxes was invited on the first leg of the Coldplay American Stadium and Arena Tour last July and August.
That's big.
It was, yeah, it was absolutely massive. The first two nights were in the Met Stadium in New Jersey, which is 88,000 people
wow.
a night.
That's
and they
Park
packed it
numbers,
out.
Isn't it? Yeah, I bet they did.
Packed it out.
Because they really, when they came to prominence originally, was it back in 2000, around the millennium, I remember,
yeah,
that track
yeah.
Yellow.
Well, but I actually had done it. I did a gig with them when they were really small in Yulu in central London at
no
the
way.
University of London.
But that's
Union.
Where they met, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I did a gig with them there. Like, I think it was either 99, 2000, something like that, years and years ago. And then this is the next time I've seen them since, was in the Met Stadium.
Well, so. I don't want to say they really took off when he did the Super Bowl, but when you do the Super Bowl, you're big.
Well, you're playing to more than 88,000 people,
yeah,
probably.
And
so, yeah.
When everybody sees you, and if you've done that, then, you know, you're the cream of the crop. So you were mixing the sound for Coldplay or just the Foxes?
No, just for Foxes, yeah.
Okay, so what happens when they play for the first hour or so? Is that what happens?
No, other way around. So you usually have two or three opening bands. A gig that's that big, you'd have quite a few. You make it more of a show of it because it takes a long time to get 88,000 people into the stadium. So Foxes was the first band on, and then a girl called Alessia Cara, who's making big waves in America. I think she's Canadian, making big waves in America at the moment. She was the second act, and then you'd get about 9:30. Coldplay would play for about 2 hours. So,
and you won't be doing the sound for them.
No, I literally look after Foxes and make her part of that tour. So we have to interact obviously with their crew and their management and all that kind of thing. But I was looking after Foxes and making sure she was there on time and sounded good.
Now, what can you tell us about Coldplay and Chris Martin, the lead singer? The vocalist and the keyboardist, as he's described.
Oh, well, they were the whole band were really, really lovely. We used to, they would invite us to their, you know, they have after show parties. They'd be sometimes very, very quiet parties, you know, just in the hotel bar, or sometimes they'd have a more of a celebration in a kind of bigger bar or at the venue. But they would always invite us to what they were doing and be very, very generous and kind.
But you know, these big stars, you hear they've got huge demands. Did you hear of them having any particular demands in the stadiums you were playing in or anything like that?
I know that. They won't play undercover.
What do you mean they won't play undercover?
Well, you know how, you know, stadium is open air, mm-hmm. and sometimes it rains. Most touring productions would put some kind of covering on the stage.
Or they have a closing roof.
Or closing roof, yeah. But most productions, because of the value of the equipment and the set, would have a kind of a covered part in order to look after the stage. But they don't play. They play out in the open. If the audience are out in the open, they play out in the open.
Bare and baldy, so to speak.
Well, yeah.
Like Chris Martin himself. No, that's terrible. But he did have some hair replacement, as I understand it. Did he not?
I think he did.
I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong on that kind of stuff. I
mean, doesn't look like it.
Doesn't look. No, he's a fine head of hair. He looks great on his chest. In fact, Sinead has put up some choice photographs on our website if you'd like to see, rte.ie/Mooney. So they would refuse to play, or would they ever give in if you had a thunderstorm or
their whole
a tornado
touring,
coming through?
Their touring production didn't have a roof on it, so they can't just decide. You know, the whole production would be in, I can't remember how many trucks, but there was a massive number of trucks and buses, you know, with all the equipment. So their set and stage didn't work around a roof. It was all open air, and it did rain. We had two major. They evacuated the stadium before the show in Chicago. There were two nights in Chicago, and the thunderstorms were so bad they had to evacuate the stadium because they're lightning.
It's very dangerous. You've got all that electrical equipment on stage,
I mean,
like a massive rig.
That's why they have to be very, very careful about when they're particularly stringent about getting people out of the stadium if there's lightning. Even if there wasn't actual rain, if there was lightning, everyone had to get out. But it never happened once it was packed. It was they make the call on it. You know, they look at the weather patterns, and then we had to download a weather pattern app for the local area because all the people were checking, oh, is there going to be lightning? Because it was forecast pretty badly for Chicago. We didn't actually get to play in Chicago because the weather was so bad that they had to cancel the opening acts in order to make sure that Coldplay could do their show.
But you did get a tour with them, nonetheless.
We did. Well, we did 6 weeks, so we did plenty of other places in the meantime.
They're coming here in July.
Yeah,
they're playing in Croke Park in July, as it happens.
And it's an absolutely incredible show. I mean, there's pyro, incredible lighting. they give everybody a wristband that is controlled by radio, that by the lighting operator, and they have different coloured flashing LED lights in them, and he can control what colour they are, when
so
they
you
come
hold
on.
Your
so
hand
every
in the
single
air.
Person in the audience Fantastic. Has one of these, and it lights up the entire place. When you see like 90,000 people, it's absolutely magical.
I have one of those. It's on the end of my pen, which I got from the RT Credit Union. Can you see the little light on the end of the pen there? Pity you can't see it on radio, but it works. But it's not an amazing experience you have.
Yeah.
And what great variety. I was talking to a friend of mine during the week who's got a great job, but he says he does the same thing every day. He gets up, he goes to work, he works, he goes to the gym, he goes to study at night, and then he goes home again. But you have great variety in your
yeah,
job.
Yeah, no, I'm really, really lucky. I mean, there is downsides to having no routine whatsoever. You can't really control a lot of, you know, if there's family weddings or funerals or stuff like that, you can't always go, because if you're in the middle of a 3-week tour in America, it's very hard to get out of one day to go and do that. But you have to kind of balance out the sacrifices.
And will you be touring with them again, do you think, or any other big bands, or how do you get the call? What way does it work out?
I tour with Soak as well, who's an Irish band. She was touring with the Lumineers around America, actually, and they're coming here again. But that was so I know different managers, different band agents, different bands, and everyone. It's a very small industry. Everyone,
and if you're good and easy to work with, you get the gigs.
Well,
sort of
I always say that, you know, your technical ability is obviously very important, but you've got to live with the band for the other 23 hours of the day. So if you're hard to get along with, then
you've got to be a very personable individual.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you for telling us that.
That's
I'm going to play one of your favourite tracks. I hope it is anyway.
It is my favourite track.
I love, especially the video. This is fantastic.
We've only got this love to deserve it.
don't you just love them? And he's got to be the sexiest lead singer in the world. There's no question about it. Him and Pat George singing the jumbo breakfast roll. Close contender. Lots and lots of sentences coming in, but will you please tell us your name and where you are so we can say who you are and where you heard it? That's my fault. I should have told you that little bit of information. You got to tell us where you heard this as well. So do let us know that, okay? Where you heard it, etc., etc. Heard in a changing room cubicle beside me today, this one, and it comes in from Catherine Donovan from Malahide. We all the other girls at the wedding are camogie players with very meaty thighs, so I'll be fine in this beside them. Huh? Well, all the other girls at the wedding are camogie players with very meaty thighs, so I'll be fine in this beside them. What could you be talking about now? Is it a dress she's talking about, do you think? All the other girls at a wedding are camogie players with very meaty thighs, so I'll be fine in this beside them. And that's from Catherine Donovan from Malahide. She overheard that today in a changing room cubicle.
The Mooney Show on RTE Radio 1.
You can visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney, or you can text the programme right now to 51551. If you were listening to radio over the Christmas period, you would have heard a documentary I made about Robert Mazel, the country singer. Robert Mazel, he's not an Irish man. He's originally from a place called Shreveport in Louisiana. And we went back, myself and producer Anna Leddy, with him to Louisiana, to his birthplace, to confront some of his ghosts that he'd been living with all these years. Anyway, he moved to Ireland when he was around 20, and he's been here ever since and has carved out a wonderful musical career for himself. But Shreveport was the base for many an aspiring country star, and many of the great stars indeed. In Shreveport there is a place called the Shreveport Municipal Memorial Auditorium. It holds about 3,000 people, and through the 40s, 50s and 60s, it was home to the Louisiana Hayride. The Louisiana Hayride was a live radio show, which then became a television show, but basically was a live country show broadcast from there every Saturday evening. And the great and the good came to play there. So, of course, we went there to have a look at it because they're talking about starting this up again to bring radio back to the heyday of radio at the Louisiana Hayride and have acts on stage and have people pay to come and see it and people at home listening on the wireless, the modern day equivalent of the wireless. It's a fantastic idea because it's a great start for people, and you can't beat a live concert and a live venue to get real emotion in a performance. And Robert had grown up there. He was all aware of this place, but he'd never sung a note while he was there. In fact, he only started singing when he came to Ireland, and that's where his career blossomed. But back to the Hayride. One of the true greats and a living legend of the Louisiana Hayride is a gentleman by the name of James Burton. He was the number one choice for everyone from Emmylou Harris to Roy Orbison and the king himself, Elvis Presley. Now, you know me, I wouldn't miss an opportunity to talk to a great man like that. Robert was with me, so we did the interview, and I must mention at this stage that he had a bug when we did the interview, but true gentleman that he is, he agreed to do the interview anyway. And during the interview, Robert asked him would he ever come to Ireland. He had been here before, but would he be coming again? And guess what? He'll be here at the National Concert Hall on Monday, 30th of January, with the original Elvis Presley band in tow. So you'll get a chance to see and hear him then, but right now, you're going to hear him outside the Louisiana Hayride. Mr. Burton, it's very nice to meet you. My name is Derek Mooney.
Hey, good to meet you.
Particularly here outside this building, which was famous
for
the Hayride.
Yeah, I played here when I was 14 years old, and it was quite a treat. Played behind George Jones and all the great country singers, Johnny Horton. And later on, greater things happened.
On lead guitar, say hello to my favorite guitar player, Mr. James Burton. James?
You performed with Elvis?
Actually, he called me in, was it 68, to do the comeback special. And unfortunately, I was doing an album with Frank Sinatra, which was okay too, you know. But Jimmy Boyd, the producer, I called him and he said, well, we're in the studio all week and I really need you. So he wouldn't let me go. So I said, okay, no problem. And but in 69, he called me back. We talked on the phone for about 3 hours. And he asked me if I'd be interested in putting a band together and being his lead guitarist and organizing a band and opening Las Vegas at the International Hotel. And I thought about it, and I said, well, sure, I'd like to do that. But I was very busy in the studios at that time. I was doing like 4 sessions a day, 7 days a week, no time off. So I made a decision to say, well, okay, I'll try the first month and see how it goes. So anyway, I put the band together. We had the rehearsal with Elvis, and he was very pleased with the band. He loved it, which became the TCB band. Taking care of business. So anyway, it worked out great. We opened Las Vegas, and it was so much fun and just so much enjoyment. I decided to stay.
Yeah.
You know, so I was with him up till he passed away, 1977.
Play it, Jim. Tell and just take a walk down Lonely Street to Heartbreak Hotel. Where you will be, where you leave so lonely, baby. You will be lonely, you'll be so lonely, you could die. That's
were you close friends?
We were. We became very close. Very close. You know, I could pick the phone up and call him, and he would call me whenever we needed to discuss something. And we would visit a lot. We would have parties after the show in Las Vegas. And he loved to sing gospel music. So after, after 9 years, we're still playing his music. Just amazing. And we did the big screen show,
mm-hmm.
featuring Elvis on screen, and which was just like him being there. It was amazing. And his music will live forever. He will, in everybody's hearts. And the guy was fantastic.
I can see it in your eyes. There are happy memories for you.
He was a great guy to work with. I worked with so many. I went to work with Ricky Nelson when I was actually 16. And that was fun, too. And Elvis and Ricky were good friends. But I didn't actually meet Elvis until 1969. You would have thought I would have met him at the in a Hayride, but no.
Well, and was every gospel was performed here also, wasn't it? Everything.
Oh, yeah, everything. It was just amazing. I mean, the lineup of artists would blow your mind. Just incredible how many people got their start here.
Mm. Well, can we go in and see the building?
I would think so.
Yeah, and I want to talk to you about your foundation.
I don't have a key.
We could knock at the door. We could climb through the window. But I want to talk to you about your foundation also and how important that is
okay.
for you, because I know you've got a base here.
Yeah, we have something that's really cool here. In front of the Municipal Auditorium, my place is across the street. But the street here is Elvis Presley Avenue. And there's only 2 Elvis Presley streets in the world.
And this is one?
Elvis Presley Boulevard, Elvis Presley Avenue. So we're across the street, and we have the whole corner, and that's where we're going to do the museum in the back, and this whole corner is going to be changed. They put a statue of Elvis in front of the Municipal Auditorium. So I've always wanted to do my show. There's so many people I worked with, so many great entertainers, and I said, you know, I've got to do this. When I did my first show, it was 2005, I wanted to do something. I said, this is my chance to do the James Burton Foundation to help the kids, work with the kids, give them guitars in school. We got music back in schools, giving guitars to teachers, teaching the kids. And it was just a fantastic thing. We also went to St. Jude's Hospital for the young kids. And we went to the Shriners, the veterans. We gave guitars to Wounded Warrior children here at the auditorium where we did, when we did my last show. But in 2005, Elvis had his statue here, and not knowing that they were putting a statue of me up, and now, so we now have Elvis and James next to each other.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel fantastic, and it's I'm honored. It's just an incredible honor. When you get Grammys and awards and all those great things.
And you've got lots of awards.
Well, but the deal is this. You can't have too many. I don't think you never get too many awards or Grammys. You know why? Because it's living proof that you're doing, still in the business, you're doing something good, mm-hmm. giving back and helping. And that's the way I feel about it. So if I win another one, then that's good. I'm still...
And how many guitars have you given out, do you think?
It's in thousands.
Wow.
I don't know the exact number, but it's way over a 1,000 mark.
And can I ask, James, is it just a guitar, or do you also facilitate the students then by arranging for music lessons, guitar lessons?
Well, we do give them guitars, but I don't, I'm so busy I don't have time for that, but we do have people to help them with it. We also put in two recording studios that the kids can come record. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're just we're excited about working with the kids, and that's what it's all about. You can't judge how many will take the music and go with it, but you can bet that maybe if 3 out of 5 or 2 out of 5, it could change a child's life forever. For good, you know, because I get letters from them, I get emails, they call and thank me for helping them in music, and what it means to them, and, you know, just it's changed their lives. I mean, school, they enjoy going to school now, they don't get mad at the teachers anymore, and they do their homework, and I tell them the most important thing to do, when you get home, after you do your homework, sit down and practice. Mm-hmm. For a half hour, and it's good to train your ear is the most important. You know, you can sit down and read music, but if you want to play with a group of guys, train your ear, and you can go any place and get up and play with artists, you know. So yeah. You can't judge what's going to happen, where it's going to happen, and when. You know,
and I think James as well. I went to Ireland. I don't believe in, because America's a big place. There's lots of very talented singers here. If I was trying to procure a career here in America, I would probably struggle. Whereas in Ireland, I'm one of the few American country singers there, and because of that, I've caught people's interest. And now it's up to me now to continue the music and to keep their interest. But once again, you know, my life here in Shreveport. And my life in Ireland, it's all happened because of the connection of music. And like your foundation, and, you know, the fact that I picked up a guitar and got on stage in Ireland is the reason I'm standing here today. Because if that hadn't happened, God knows where I would have been. It's the music.
That's true. You can never judge that. You know, it's a strange situation. And I played on a lot of records with new artists that never happened because... Timing. I think it has a lot to do with timing. And, you know, I'd like to come over to Ireland and play some music. I know they have I like the Irish dancers. I know they can get it.
Well, the invitation is open, James. I'd love to have you over. And if I could actually stand somewhere, maybe in Claire Morris, and say, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage James Burton. I mean, I'd be the star of the show for the rest of my life. So if you ever do get a chance, we'd love to have you over.
We will do it.
If you were to give Robert any advice.
It might be to, do you write songs?
I'm a very poor songwriter. I've only learned to play the guitar in the last couple of years, but I am learning, and I'm taking, it's something that I'm really interested in the next 10 years of my career. So I think that if I can write a hit half as good as some of the songs you've played on, I'd be doing okay.
Well, what's important is that in building your career is that I should have done it myself. But I'm not a songwriter, and you know, it's really good that I had a real dear friend, Jimmy Wakely, told me years ago. He said, You want to do something in the business that when you're home sleeping, you're being paid.
Yeah, that's, I like that idea.
And
yeah.
when you're into the songwriting, the publishing, and putting it out there, that's great. Let me tell you about Suzy Q. Playing guitar, I came up with this little guitar lick that was pretty interesting to me, and it became an instrumental. And so I was working with a guy, it was a blues band, Dale Hawkins had a blues band, and I was the youngest guy in the band playing guitar, and we played this instrumental 20 times a night in the clubs, and Dale said, well, I got to write some lyrics to this little instrumental. And he did. So Dale Hawkins wrote the lyrics, and I wrote the music. Creedence, they recorded. It was recorded by a lot of people. I think Elvis even recorded it. I was sitting in the studio when we were recording, and I was just sitting down. Everybody's on a coffee break. So I was playing that little guitar lick, me and Chip Young, and having fun, and Elvis came in and started singing it. He said, turn the machine on, we'll cut it. So, I mean, that's the way Elvis worked. A lot of times you sit down and play something he liked, he'd say, turn the machine on, let's cut it. And that's what happened on the Low House special. I was sitting on my amp, everybody's on a coffee break, and I was playing this old Hank Williams song, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, and real bluesy. And Elvis walked up on stage, and he walked over to me and he said, what are you playing? That sounds familiar. And I told him it was old Hank Williams song, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. And he said, man, let's do that. Let me get the band up here, Joe. And so we started doing it, and he put it in the show.
Yeah. I tell you a little story, James, that one of the very first record that I ever owned was a 45. And when I lived with my grandmother, she had an old 45 record player. And the side A on the song was Rockahula.
Rockahula, yeah.
And if I can remember, the A side of that song was... Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you. That's
you know,
what I
that,
remember.
You know, that was his favorite closing song on all
beautiful
of shows.
Song. I know I'm not Elvis, and even if I could sing like Elvis, I could never move the left leg like he did.
Yeah. You never met Forrest Gump.
No, I didn't.
James, thank you very much indeed.
You're certainly welcome. Thank you, guys. I'm so glad you came back, and hopefully we could play some music together, and that would be great. I'd be honored.
Thank you, James. Thank you.
Well, I quit my job down at the car wash. I left my...
Well, if you're a fan of Elvis, if you're a fan of James Burton, he was in the original lineup. You know the band were called TCB, not TCP, TCB. Now, any idea what that stands for? TCB, text 51551. The original Elvis TCB band with special guests, the Imperials and Dennis Jail. And obviously, you're going to hear James Burton in there because he was the guitarist, Elvis's favourite guitarist. Anyway, 30th of January at the National Concert Hall, which gives me the opportunity to mention Angus McAnally, because we made him a star at Mooney Tunes when he did that tribute to Christy Hennessy. He's also a brilliant guitar player. And he is playing a second gig. He was there a few months ago, just before Christmas, at the National Concert Hall with his own show, celebrating Christy Hennessy, the Platinum Collection, if I'm not mistaken. And he sold out then, and he's on there next Wednesday. And can you get a ticket for it? Probably. No, I'm kidding. I think it's sold out too, as it happens. So good luck to him. I say fair play to Angus, because it is a super show. And by all accounts, it went down very well. So you have your choice there from the National Concert Hall. You've got the original Elvis TCB band with special guests, the Imperials and Dennis Jail on the 30th, and Angus McAnally celebrating Christy Hennessy, the Platinum Collection, on next Wednesday, which is the 24th. All right. Do you know what TCB stands for? Text 51551.
The Mooney Show on RTE Radio 1.
It's Saturday. It's the Mooney Show. Time to play Mooney's Saturday Night Quiz.
And the perfect time to play. And in the studio with me now, we have Scrutineer, but you didn't actually set the questions.
No,
Sinead
I didn't.
Sinead Renshaw, our researcher, Elaine, set the questions.
She did indeed.
Are they hard questions today? Are they easy questions?
There's a good sample of, there's some easy ones, there's some middling ones, and there's some tricky ones, just so we can get a final winner at the
just
end.
Just like our listeners.
Indeed.
Anyway, what is the prize, Sinead?
The prize is fabulous. It is a 2-night stay at the Kingsley Hotel in Cork.
Yep.
Beautiful, beautiful. beautiful, gorgeous hotel. Bistro style restaurant within the hotel, a spa, a health club. It's right in the centre of Cork. It's an absolutely wonderful stay. So I have no doubt that whoever wins this is going to have a fabulous time at the Kingsley.
All right, and player number one is?
Player number one this evening is Tracy Hawkins, and she is from Brosna in County Kerry.
Tracy, how are you today?
Good evening, Derek. How are you?
I'm hanging in. So what were you doing with yourself all day, or are you at liberty to say?
I've been doing housework and homework all day, Derek. I'm a very exciting person.
Why were you doing the housework?
Well, my husband is working very hard today, actually, so it's up to me to carry the load today.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. And what did the housework involve? What was the first thing you started with? Do you have a routine? Do you have a plan of action? How do you tackle it?
No, I just do what needs to be done first. That's all.
Pick up all the stuff lying on the ground, probably.
Probably.
Is it a busy house? Have you got many people there?
I have two children with me, and my third child, my eldest, is in Dublin at the moment.
Well, tell us a little bit about them.
Okay, so my eldest is Emily, and she's working in Dublin. She graduated last year from her journalism course in Dublin.
Well, congratulations to Emily.
Yes, we're very proud of her. And she's working at the moment in Wagamama, and she's waiting to get a job in journalism.
Now, well, she will, and she'll have to probably do it on her own to begin with. She'll have to go online and start writing. Is she doing anything? Has she got a social media presence?
Yeah, she does freelance work, and she's just always keeping an eye out for opportunities to do more freelance work.
So. And you've got to keep doing that. And then who else have you got?
My middle child then is Callum, and he's currently doing his TY year. And my youngest is Cuiva, and she's in third class here in Brosna.
Oh, the Idir Vlean, isn't that what they call it? The TY, the transition year.
That's right, yes.
So, and is that a good thing or a bad thing? Was it mandatory in the school, or was it one of these things where you could decide to do it yourself?
Yeah, no, it was a choice subject, and it was very popular
A choice subject?
A choice year, and it was very popular. A lot of the children wanted to do it there.
What you were calling it a subject there. I mean, the kids aren't getting marks on it. Are they? What do they get? What way is it? I don't know any kids myself. I wasn't around in the transition year business. What happens to them? They just go off for a year and they do stuff.
They have an opportunities to do work experience and to do projects and mini businesses. And it gives them loads of lovely life skills for after they finish school. And it gives them a chance to think about what they'd like to do for their leaving cert as well.
Which is a good idea when they finish the leaving cert and what they're going to apply for in college, or if they're going to go on and just go straight into the workforce or whatever the case might be. I think it's a good idea, actually.
Because I'd love to have done it myself.
Yeah, it prepares you. Because not everybody knows what they want to do necessarily.
Sometimes you need to take that breather of a year just to collect yourself and figure out where really do I want to go next.
Well, don't let us get in your way, Sinead. I mean, you know, we've got the Idir Vlean in here. What do they call them here? The incentivized career break. Or do you want to get rid of people for a few months or a year or 2 years? Get out, and they call it the incentivized career break. So you just go off. It's a lovely idea if you've been working for a long time and you feel that you need a little bit of a break. You know, it's a nice idea. Do you have that? What do you work at, if you don't mind me asking, Tracy?
I actually have a childcare business here, Derek. So I probably could do with that myself, taking a year out.
Now you have the patience of a saint. Because not only did you look after your own children, you're now looking after other people's children.
Yeah, but I enjoy it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it.
Okay. And are you good at general knowledge, would you say?
I hope I am tonight, because I love the idea of this prize. It sounds fantastic.
It's a nice prize. It's a nice hotel.
Yeah.
It's in a lovely place in Cork. And Cork is a lovely place to visit as well. I always like going down to Cork, I have to say. Going there shortly for my 21st. So there you are. Anyway, are you ready? You have 60 seconds. What are you laughing at? You have 60 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can correctly. And as I said, Sinead is the scrutineer. And your time, Brian, are you ready? Starts now. What British admiral was killed at the Battle of Trafalgar?
I'll pass.
How many stripes are there on Adidas sports clothing?
Pass.
Robbie Williams plays the Aviva Stadium this summer, but can you name this Robbie hit?
Pass.
Who from Irish modern history was known as the Big Fella?
Daniel O'Connell.
What is the meaning of the word bibliophile?
Sorry, pass.
The pale moon was shining is the first line of a song associated with?
The Rose of Tralee. Mm-hmm.
American Tralee. Rockers Guns N' Roses come to Slane this summer. This is one of their songs. Can you name it?
Sweet Child of Mine.
What colour is a female blackbird?
It's brown.
What did you say?
Brown.
Yeah, I can tell you're absolutely correct on that. Don't worry about it now. It's always hard to be first. So you hang on there. Don't hang up and we'll let you know how you did later on. Sinead, who's next, please? Who's player number two?
Player number two tonight, Derek, is Pat Nolan and he is from Kilkenny.
Pat, how are you getting on?
Very fine, thank you.
Great. Tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
I am retired, worked in tourism, and now run an organisation called Irish Origins Research Agency.
Irish Origins Research Agency?
Yeah.
The IORA.
IORA.
Sounds
exactly.
A bit threatening like that, doesn't it? The IORA will be out to investigate you.
Don't worry, it's the origin is the important bit. So that fits in there, so that makes things okay.
So what do you actually do?
We help people to find their own family history. And we run courses for people in association with the Archaeological Society here in Kilkenny. And that sort of thing. And it's quite interesting. And we meet some very varied people. Our client run stretches from Bangkok to Vancouver and more or less everywhere in between.
No, should the Irish have gone all over the world, haven't they?
They have indeed. They have
indeed. What Kennedy said when he was here in 1963 or sometime like that. They've gone all over the world and they've been welcomed everywhere. And if you come to, what did he say, if you come to Washington, come up to the White House and there'll be a cade meal of falchia for you.
Exactly,
something like that is
exactly.
What he said.
John Kennedy,
Then the Shannon. But I mean, so are you like genealogists? Is that what you are? No?
I am. I think that I would qualify as that, yes.
And have you looked into your own family history?
I have indeed. And it brings it back to 1660 on one side and 1554 on my mother's side.
And now, look, everybody's family history is interesting. Just depends on what you consider to be interesting. So have you found out anything interesting about your family that stood out to you that you were shocked to hear or anything like that?
No, nothing terribly shocking. We seem to have been very much involved in shipping down through the generations. My great-grandfather was a sea captain out of New Ross, and it's just conceivable that he was involved, as you mentioned it, with John F. Kennedy's grandfather, because he was on a trip to... He went from... Watford Harbour is really two ports. It's Watford itself and... New Ross across to the Americas. So it's possible that Kennedy was one of his clients.
Goodness. Well, how could you find that out?
I haven't really looked into it because...
Do you think you'd ever be able to find that information or does it kind of stop there?
It's very hard to put people onto a specific boat. It's what Chris O'Malley described once as Luckland. You may be lucky, there may be records or there may not. And in this case, it doesn't appear to be.
All right. So have you any hobbies outside of that? Or was that your hobby before you retired? And
no,
it's now what you do for a living? Do you do anything else?
My big hobby really is cycling. And I'm with a group of, I wouldn't call it a club, just a group of friends. And we cycle around Europe every year. One of our members, who's a brilliant organiser, organises where we go, and we all cycle around the place. And we spent a fortnight this year running along the North Sea coast, flying to Belgium and flying along there. And the coast is a wonderful, wonderful place to fly
to cycle. Yes, I bet it is.
And I'm planning to cycle around Ireland this coming summer.
You're going to circumnavigate Ireland, is that the idea?
Yeah.
And do you know what the distance is? Because it 4,000?
It's about 3,500
kilometres. Yeah.
Of that, yeah. Very difficult to quantify precisely because my ambition is to try as far as possible to remain in sight of the sea on my left-hand side at all times. And so I'll be using smaller roads. And I'm estimating circa 3,500, but it could be quite... It could vary a bit.
Well, listen, we wish you the very best of luck with that challenge because it is a big challenge. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Not as big as the challenge you're about to undertake, you understand. 60 seconds on the clock is all you have to answer as many questions correctly as you possibly can. If you don't know the answer, you'll say pass. And here we go. Where are the Neffenbeg Mountains?
Neffenbeg in Donegal.
Which superhero was born on the planet Krypton?
Superman.
Have a listen to this and name this Robbie Williams hit.
Pass.
In ancient Ireland, what was a gallows glass?
It was a mercenary soldier from Scotland.
Name the wild Australian dog.
Pass.
What country's flag features a light blue Star of David?
That would be Israel.
Can you name this Guns N' Roses song?
No, pass. No.
What is the subject matter of the Book of Kells?
Book of Kells is a series of psalms and prayers.
Okay. Which famous waterfall is on the border between the United States of America and Canada?
Pass.
What kind of animal is a flying fox?
Is it a bird?
Who wrote Tale of Two Cities?
Tale of Two Cities by... Of course, Tale of Two Cities is by... Isn't it extraordinary? I know this quite well, but when you're struck for it, you can't.
Is it Charlie High?
No.
Is it Charlie something?
It's Charles Dickens, of course.
That's the same Charlie, Dickens. But unfortunately, you were outside of the gong.
Yeah.
But you did okay nonetheless. I would say, imagine you're in the lead at this stage. So hang on, don't hang up. Who's player number three, Sinead?
Player number three, we'll have to go to an ad break.
Of course, the line goes down.
Unfortunately.
One of those things. We'll take the little break.
The Mooney Show on RTE Radio 1.
While we're still trying to get the last caller, let's have a little sample of the RTE Radio 1 album of the week. This is Robert Mazzell.
She said if I ever deceived her, she'd be gone before I could count ten.
Tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker.
Right, so we couldn't get player number three, but Sinead, we have a...
Would you believe?
I do believe it. It just goes to show you. Who are our two players again?
Our two players are Tracy Hawkins from Brosnan in County Kerry and Pat Nolan from Kilkenny.
Sorry, Tracy and Pat, are you both there?
Indeed.
Yeah, now you see, Tracy, I bet you thought you didn't do very well early on. You just never know. But apparently you both answered three questions correctly.
Oh, right, okay.
So there you are, we have a tiebreak. And as we don't have player number three, they have vanished from the face of the telephone earth. They're gone, out of communications. So here's how it works. I will read out the question and you've got to say your name. And the first person to answer the name, tell me their name, will get a chance to answer the question. Now, think about it before you shout your name because you might get it wrong and then I hand it over to the other person. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Tracy and Pat, here comes the question. Name the highest point of Donegal. No one?
Afraid not.
Tracy?
Sorry.
Okay, here we go again. Another question for you. Where was Christopher Columbus born? Lisbon, Genoa or Madrid?
No, Pat Nolan.
Yes, Pat.
He was born in Genoa.
In Genoa. Genoa! He was! Yay! Congratulations, Pat. Bad luck, Tracy.
Congratulations to Pat.
Yeah, the quiz contestants are always very nice on this show, which what they really mean is, I'm delighted, I'm excited. But listen, thank you both very much indeed.
Okay,
thanks to everybody who took part in today's programme. We'll be in touch with you about the details, Pat, in just a moment. Sinead Renshaw, our broadcast coordinator on sound, our touring sound engineer, who's just back for a spell at RTE, is Bryony October. And our producer today was Aidan Butler. We'll do it all again next week. In the meantime, do visit the website, rte.ie/Mooney. Until next week, bye!
Follow us on Twitter at RTE Mooney.